Luke chapter 19, we're going to pick up in verse 28. And the first thing I want you to write down in your notes to really capture the essence of this passage is this: Jesus fulfills prophecy. I want you to think about how Jesus has aligned his life to be in perfect agreement with our Heavenly Father's agenda. And what we see in this passage is Jesus fulfills prophecy. What the Old Testament prophets pointed to in Jesus in the New Testament and his coming to earth and what he would complete on the cross for our salvation, that's what they were pointing to. And here Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. We pick up in chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke, verse 28. Look with me. And when he had said these things, that is Jesus, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Now that's a key verse because it's demonstrating that Jesus is following through with his commitment to become for us sin so that through Christ we can become righteousness. That Jesus is choosing the road that will produce our salvation. The second statement I want you to write down is the disciples obey Jesus' request. So Jesus is inviting the disciples to get in on the activity of God. And I want you to notice how they obey his request. They're demonstrating their discipleship. We pick up now in verse 29. When Jesus drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied." That is the foal of a donkey. That's fulfilling Zechariah 9:9 prophecy. On which no one has ever yet sat. That is, this donkey's unbroken, unridden. And here's the command: untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this: the Lord has need of it. Would you say that with me? The Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as Jesus had told them. Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker that says, "God is my co-pilot." That is bad theology. You do not want God to be your co-pilot. You want him to be your pilot. And what I want to talk about for just a moment is the concept of lordship. What does it mean when Jesus is Lord of your life? What does that look like? And I want to give you three indicators. When Jesus is Lord of your life, number one, your possessions become positioned for his use. When Jesus is Lord of your life, your possessions become positioned for his use. Now look with me, verse 33. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, say the phrase with me, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. Now, we call this the triumphal entry. Jesus is making preparation to obey God and his agenda. He's going to have this triumphal entry where there are the waving of palm branches that we'll see in just a moment in our text. And Jesus is going to be riding in on a donkey. Now, the expectation of the people is that the Messiah is going to come as a ruler to dominate and to throw down the Roman Empire. So Jesus, instead of coming in on a stallion as a mighty warrior, Jesus comes in meek and mild riding on a donkey. Very interesting. Now, what we don't really highlight very often is the owners of the donkey. That somebody had to give up their own donkey in order for Jesus to ride in on the donkey. So it's very important to realize as the disciples are obeying Jesus, they go untie the donkey. The owners ask, "What are you doing?" And they say, "The Lord is in need of it." And they respond by releasing their donkey. Now, it's very obvious to people who own the animal, this beast of burden, it's obvious they've heard of the Lord. They maybe have heard his teachings. Maybe they have seen his miracle-working power. It could be that they became followers of Jesus. And they're demonstrating lordship, surrendering their possessions to the Lord. The Lord's in need of it. They release it to the Lord. And I love how this is such a clear picture of stewardship. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns everything. Would you say that with me? God owns everything. So anytime you say mine and you withhold, we need to be reminded that God owns everything. And God has called you and he's called me to be a steward of that which he has entrusted to our care. To whom much is given, much will be required. And those who can be trusted with little will be entrusted with much. But our natural proclivity is to withhold. But here it's such a beautiful picture of stewardship. It's also a beautiful picture of lordship, that Jesus is Lord. And because he's Lord, I live with an open hand and an open heart. It's also a picture of generosity. By nature, we're not generous, are we? By nature, we like to hoard or withhold. We always want the best for us, and then maybe we'll give the rest to others. That's natural. When you become generous in your living and generous in your giving, that's an indicator that Jesus is Lord of your life. It's not natural to be generous. It is supernatural. It's also a picture of partnership, that Jesus is inviting others into the process and into the journey. And that's what's been so powerful about our multiplied journey together, though it's really beginning today. We've been walking through this together to prepare for today. Jesus is inviting us into this journey called multiply, and it's been an amazing partnership. How do you know when Jesus is Lord of your life? Your possessions become positioned for his use. Number two, your preferences become shaped by his plan. If you'll write that in your notes. Your preferences become shaped by his plan. Luke chapter 19, and we pick up in verse 36. When you're there, would you say amen? Look at verse 36. And as Jesus rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. Now that's interesting. But what you have to understand is in Jesus' day, whenever someone went into their home, their closet was not filled with clothes like we have, where we're really stressing out over what are we going to wear today. Some of you stressed out over what you're going to wear at church today. Some families had a major implosion this morning over what you're going to wear, right? Or where's my shirt? I can't find my socks. Major tension in the home over what you're going to wear today. Well, in Jesus' day, you had an undergarment and then you had a cloak. And a cloak was like a covering that at night, if you were out in the field, you would use that like a sleeping bag or roll it up and use it as a pillow. It was part of your being. You kept it close to your side. You didn't have multiple options. That was your outfit. Simple life. So to be willing to take that which is dear to you, close to you, and to lay it on the dirt so that Jesus riding on a donkey can ride over the cloak is a demonstration of selflessness. It's putting others before yourself. It's being generous in how you're treating the Lord. It's the Lordship of Christ being indicated through generosity. How do I know if Jesus is Lord? Number three, your praise. Your praise becomes purpose for his pleasure. Your praise is directed. It's focused. Instead of horizontal, it goes vertical. That's how you know when Jesus is Lord of your life. Your praise becomes purposed for his pleasure. Now we're going to pick up in verse 37. Look with me. As Jesus was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice. Now, there's a tremendous number. It's not just the 12 disciples. This is a tremendous number of followers of Jesus Christ. Began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, Matthew says that they were waving palm branches. Did you enjoy our children coming through waving the palm branches? Wasn't that sweet seeing them participate with us here in big church and leading in worship? Matthew says they were waving palm branches and singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means the Lord saves now. Immediate. Our God saves now. Look at verse 39. John Maxwell, one of my favorite leadership gurus, I read all of his books and have a lot of his leadership materials. He says that the buzzards always circle. You can always anticipate opposition and criticism when you're on mission with God. And we see that here, even in the life of Jesus. Verse 39. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." I love his response. Look at verse 40. "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." How many of you were blessed as a child to have a pet rock? Do you remember those? You got the little plastic eyes, you would stick on them and do a little nose and a little mouth. A pet rock. Some of parents or grandparents think, we need to reinstate that. That was low profile, that was low maintenance, because your pet rock was so easy to get along with. No resistance, no rebellion. You didn't have to worry about feeding them or taking them outside. I mean, low maintenance. Why? They were lifeless, inanimate. And Jesus uses this hyperbole to say, if the disciples don't praise, the very rocks will cry out and praise Hosanna in the highest. I don't know about you, but I know where I was when Jesus found me, and I know that I was hellbound. I was in sin, and Jesus had to rescue me out of sin, bring me out of darkness, and bring me into the kingdom of light. There is no way I'm going to let a pet rock outpraise me for the salvation that I've experienced in Jesus. We get so tame, don't we, in our worship? But our worship is a witness. Our worship is a witness. And it's a witness of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that He is Lord of life and Lord of all. You know, it would have been very easy for that donkey to think the praise was for him. Can you imagine that donkey stepping on the cloaks and hearing all the shouts of praise, and that donkey saying, "Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." Can you imagine that? But the praise is to be positioned for Christ alone. So we take our expression of appreciation and adoration, and we don't go horizontal with it, we go vertical. And we ascribe value and worth and adoration for all that Jesus is and all that He has done for us. Now, here's what's so powerful about lordship. It's truly a daily discipline to surrender to the lordship of Christ and let Jesus be your pilot, not your co-pilot. That's a daily discipline of surrendering. But here's what's so powerful about lordship. Lordship is the doorway to salvation. That no one comes to salvation until you're willing to say, "Jesus is Lord." Turning from sin and self, worshiping yourself, trying to make it your own way, you turn from self and sin, and you trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Here's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. But if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's not an opinion. That's the Word of God. That's a promise from God. For with the heart one believes and is justified, it's just if I'd never sinned. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.